This is a trailer for The Killer That Stalked New York, a 1950s ripped-from-the-headlines film about vaccination.
On a November day in 1947, without either gun or knife, one person was able to bring terror to the hearts of 8 million people.
Smallpox really had come to Manhattan, sparking a stunningly successful vaccination campaign. In Hollywood's version, the carrier was a beautiful blonde diamond smuggler. In real life, says the New York Historical Society's Gene Ashton, he was a rug importer named Eugene.
A man named Eugene Labar, who came up on a bus from Mexico and wandered around the city and then felt awful, and put himself into Bellevue Hospital, where they discovered he had smallpox.
So the government then had two options: compel people to get vaccinated, which there was a precedent for, or persuade them.
Well, yes, they'd also tried to track down all of the people that Labar had been in contact with, but that was laborious and not completely successful. So yes, they chose to ask people to be voluntarily vaccinated.
Part of this campaign of persuasion involved what appears to be one of the most passive-aggressive, bordering on insulting public information campaigns on the radio that there ever was.
Those people who are intelligent and who won't take a chance and who realize the importance of vaccination, they, for the most part, have gone to their physicians and to the clinics and have been protected. Now we come to those who are more reluctant, who are slower, some who don't realize the necessity of vaccination.
That's really funny.
but how effective was his appeal to the stupid people out there?
Well, it was extremely effective. In 2 weeks, 5 million people were vaccinated. And in the following 2 weeks, another 1.5 million were vaccinated. So there were only 1.5 million who were slow or reluctant, I guess.
And it turned out there were only, what, 12?
12 cases of smallpox. And as a result, smallpox was effectively knocked out of the city of New York. There was never another case.
Why wasn't there a movement of vaccine skeptics?
Well, there have always been vaccine skeptics. Back in the 17th and the 18th centuries, there was always an objection to interfering with God's will or putting a disease into the body, even before anybody understood anything about germs or viruses. And that has maintained. There are always a number of people today, certainly, who distrust any kind of vaccination.
But why wasn't there an effective movement of smallpox vaccine skeptics?
Well, I think there are several reasons. First, people had actually seen smallpox in the middle of the 20th century. It was still around, and it's a horrible disease. You were covered with oozing sores that left terrible scars. People went blind. There was a death rate that was considerable. Also, people had just gone through World War II. They were used to trusting the government, and they were used to being obedient. They stood in line. Some historians say the whole of the Second World War entailed people standing in line.
Why do you think we're back in a cycle of vaccine skepticism today?
Part of it is communication through the internet, where anyone who has a doubt about anything can communicate with many other people. Partly, many of the diseases that people are vaccinating with are a little more subtle than smallpox. But also, perhaps by the 1960s in the Vietnam era, people had less trust in government. And so the combination of a lack of trust in government, a distrust of science, which seems for some reason to be rising in this country, and also nobody's seen many of these diseases for a long, long time. If you see somebody suffering from a disease like polio, as I did when a child, when we saw iron lungs and people die, you are much more eager to take the risks of the vaccination.
So you have to be burned on the stove before you learn to stay away?
At least you have to believe that that burn is going to hurt.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Gene Ashton is Vice President and Library Director of the New York Historical Society.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.